Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95, and this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys Dan and Cass. Go Bucks.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan. I'm here with Big Cass. And Ohio State, you know, they did come out a little sluggish, Cass, but we got the job done. What were your thoughts on the win on the road against Nebraska?
That was a typical Ohio State early November game, and I think Nebraska is better than the 3-7 record that they have. They're a good football team, very well coached, and they're always hungry. And we're no matter what, any given Saturday, I think the Buckeyes get everybody's best shot. And it proved how much we missed Garrett Wilson. He was out for a concussion. I thought our defense was very solid all game long. And I mean, I have no complaints about this game other than the fact that we need to start scoring in the red zone.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think we still dominated. Whether the scoreboard said so or not, I think the Buckeyes still dominated. Yeah, there were some two bad interception throws by CJ. But, I mean, all in all, it was a great victory. Whenever you can get your another Big Ten win on the road, I don't care who it's against, and in a hostile environment, Nebraska fans always bring it. It's always a fun game to watch, and I was pretty happy with the victory.
Yeah, I mean, I would say Nebraska, they're much better than a 3-7 team. I feel like they definitely played us pretty tough, Cass. I give credit to Adrian Martinez. He played solid, I thought, considering he had no time from his offensive line. I felt like he actually played a pretty solid game, kept a minute at times with his legs. But yeah, like our defensive line, like Zach Harrison, Tyreek Smith, what was it? Five sacks on the day. Yeah. Five sacks on the
day.
Something
like that.
Yeah. Like a great, great job by the defensive line. Steel Chambers locks the game up in the second half. Divine Justice. Like he comes in after the first half suspension for targeting, comes in unreal interception to seal the game. Defense was fantastic. I thought too, Cass. Offense was just, I don't know. I really don't know why we can't like get 1 yard sometimes.
I think there's just an inconsistency. I think we're trying to rely on Travion Henderson to get that 1 yard, and I get it. But we need to give the ball the rock. We need to give Master Teague the rock. We need in those situations. We know CJ's not going to run. He made that clear to the press. And he doesn't need to run. He's the top efficient quarterback in the country. I mean, he's only
we're not asking him to be like Michael Vick or like Cam Newton or Tim Tebow. We're just asking, like, I feel like though it's like he has a free 5 yards some plays, like the majority of plays, and he just tries to force it. Like it's just the weirdest thing to me, Cass. He can literally like get 5 yards and get not even get touched and just like knee it down, easy 5 yards, but he just doesn't run it.
I don't know if he's scared because that shoulder injury he had, but he's not, like he said, he's not here to run the football. He's a passing quarterback. We have solid running backs that can get those yards, but for some reason they're not. And his defense, he was missing one of his top targets in Garrett Wilson, which would have been, his throws would have been a lot easier. I get that if people want to run, want him to run, but this ain't Justin Fields. This ain't Troy Smith. This isn't JT Barrett. This is CJ Stroud, a running quarterback. Again, I'm looking at my jerseys right now, and this season reminds me, maybe he doesn't have the offense explosion touchdowns than number 7, Dwayne Haskins. I'm looking right at his jersey right now.
Dwayne was a much better run. Dwayne would at least take off sometimes. Like,
Even that, Dwayne wouldn't run. It took him till the second to last game against Maryland to finally get to run. So maybe it's just instinct. CJ wants to make a play with his arm, and that's just him. I mean,
I do agree. I think it could be instincts, to be honest, because I do see he's always looking downfield, which is good. It's just, sometimes he just makes unnecessary passes, I feel. That's my like I just feel like he could, if you can get 3 or 4 yards, or you throw it to a receiver who's already like with a man on him and he might not catch it for like a really hard pass that's also going to go 3 to 4 yards, just take the free yards and run it. I feel like just like don't put, my biggest thing is on like on that interception, he put the ball out there when he didn't have to put the ball out there. I just thought that was such a dumb decision. And I just hope he doesn't do that. Like, just don't put the ball out there unnecessarily. Cause like the more, like if you're going to have the same outcome on the play cast, don't you want it where you're not like exchanging the ball, like the option that you're not exchanging the ball, because like that reduces your risk of like turning it over.
And you know what causes this is an efficient run game. If we had an efficient run game where he didn't have to throw the ball 40 times, it'd be totally fine.
Like, yeah.
I agree. I think CJ Stroud is, in recent memory, is one of the most crucified quarterback that we've had. And that's just because if he's not running, he's being crucified. If he's making some bad passes, he's being crucified. But yet nobody looks at what he does on the field with creating opportunities for his receivers. Again, that's why he's third in the Heisman race. Maybe in some he's number two in the Heisman race, and he's the number one efficient passer in the country. Like, I get it, he's got weapons to galore, but if you break it down, nobody has been crucified more this season than CJ Stroud, and yet he still gets the W at the end of the day, because, you know, despite the red zone issues, it's not all on him. It's that the offensive line has had some red zone issues too, and these third and shorts issues also. Like, he's putting his team in scoring position to allow Noah Ruggles to be the Lou Groza, in my opinion, he won't get it because he's only got 12 attempts this year, but the Lou Groza winner.
He was the difference.
He
is the golden leg, that kid.
Yeah, I mean, to put Ruggles in a position, you have to have an efficient quarterback, and that's what CJ Stroud has done. Yeah, we got to just polish some things up in the red zone, and we'll be just fine.
I feel like Ohio State right now is better at, like, in the open field. Once you get down to that, almost that goal line offense inside the red zone, like that, you know, that 10, 15 yard area where the red zone begins. I feel like that's where Ohio State's offense kind of stalls a little bit. And you mentioned like a healthy run game. I don't think we have a healthy run game at the moment. We did a few weeks ago, but ever since, I would say, the Penn State game, the past 2 weeks, the run game's been shaky. It's been really maybe 2-3 yards a carry. And then we get lucky and it looks much better, cause like Travion will pop one or two for a huge gain. But when you look at the bulk of the carries, they're not going for anything, I feel like. And I'm sure there's stats to back that up. I don't have the stats in front of me, but if you look at the numbers, I guarantee you would see a correlation.
You're right. I mean, it is not healthy what it's compared to see as an Ohio State. But I will tell you, Travion Henderson does wear down opponents because he gets better towards the end of the game. And I think that's just a testament of how good he is. And I just want to see more consistency out of our offensive line. And I want to see those short down and goal situations where we, Master Teague gets those, or Mayan Williams gets those yards.
I have a proposition. I think we should give Steel Chambers a carry or two, maybe.
I want him to focus on linebacker just because I think he's so close to being a stud linebacker and Big Ten linebacker.
He's already a stud, Cass. I think he's going to be a star soon. I think Ryan Day is going to be smart enough to find a way to use him a little bit on offense again. Or on special teams in a punt fake. I think he's going to do that soon. That's my future take. I think we're going to see like a Steel Chambers like direct snap on a punt fake, or he might get a carry in a big situation. Because like no defense is going to plan for Steel Chambers at running back. But like
why can't we use Mitch Rossi? Like, give him the ball on third and one.
He's not a – I mean, I think
– He's a Chamber, fullback.
He needs to he's just there to block and, like, catch. I don't think he's, like, a much of a runner. I don't know, though. We've never seen him really run it. So that's not a bad idea. Like I mentioned, though, like, you just – like, teams don't probably game plan for Mitch Rossi to get the ball. So I knew they threw like a tight end screen or fullback screen to him too, and it went for no yard. So I know we try to get him involved, but like, when you have the studs we have, it's tough to get everyone the ball.
It starts with the offensive line. I mean, Luke Weipler's had, I think, back to back bad games, and that's just my opinion. He's going to get better. It's just a matter of time for this Buckeye offense to get back going. And I think this week is a proposition that and perfect example of how they can get back and get it going.
I'll tell you what, though. The two young receivers looked pretty good. Well, the Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be a stud. We know that. But Julian Fleming looked really good. And I think he's finally healthy. He's turning the corner. He's going to make a big impact down the road for this team. The one play he had cast should have been a catch. Did you see that?
Yeah, I ended up seeing it. I rewatched the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a catch. It was a catch that didn't get called a catch.
It was the dumbest thing because it was clear, one foot in, ball fully in control in the left hand, like fully controlled left hand. He's like literally palming it in the left hand. And he the hand wasn't fully cupped over the ball. It was like slightly moving, but it was clearly control. And for some reason, they called it not a catch. It blew my mind. Honestly, the worst call of the season so far.
Let's just say this: the officiating has been very, very bad.
Oh, it's been unbearable. It's across the conference. It's ruining the conference. Right. Unfortunately, it's a shame. It's not just Ohio State. It was the Purdue-Michigan State game. It was terrible. It was terrible literally every game this weekend.
Yeah, I it's even in the NFL. That's the Chicago Bears. So
and it's just like the dumbest penalties too.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is. You can't just rely on penalties and bad penalties be a reason why your team loses. But this goes up to my point, and I have brought this up many a times, especially this year. Ohio State, at the beginning, looking back to 2002, and I think, you know, the Holy Buckeye anniversary was this past weekend. And then this weekend is the double overtime victory against Illinois. So it made me think about since 2002. Granted, we have a loss this year with Oregon, but that year we didn't. How many one possession games did Ohio State win? And I just feel like the team wasn't as crucified as this team was back then. Yeah, we were winning every game, but it was just, and we were squeaking by because Illinois had only like three or four wins. Purdue only had like two or three wins, and there's so many teams that we barely squeaked by in 2002, but yet we're getting 9-point victories against historically powerhouse programs.
Yeah,
and this team is getting crucified, and one team should be ranked in the top 25. But the committee is stupid because the only head-to-head matchup matters is the Oregon-Ohio State game, it seems like.
Yeah, the Michigan-Michigan State game doesn't matter for some reason. It's
Auburn-Penn State.
It's insane.
So it makes you think, did Vegas ruin college football when it comes to teams – against the spread?
I think they did, honestly.
I think we had the over-unders and spreads back then, but nothing was more notable until the past, what, would you say 8 to 10 years?
Yeah, I hate betting money on college football because I feel like if it's not the Buckeyes, I lose because they have the line so good on football. NFL, I could win at. College football, it's the hardest thing for me to bet on.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Ohio State getting victories but yet not covering the spread. 20 years ago, we didn't care how you won. You won. But yet, if you don't cover the spread, it somehow doesn't pass the eye test, and somehow it doesn't seem enjoyable.
Yeah, when did the spread become the eye test? That's a great point, Cass.
I don't know. I really don't know. And I think that's my whole point about this is no matter what, and I get this all the time, even from family and friends, it doesn't matter to me if the Buckeyes won by 1 point against the one loss team, against the one win team. A win is a win in my book. Doesn't matter how ugly the win is. Just polish some things up and you'll be all right. And all that matters is, like Alvin Davis said, just win, baby. And that's what the Buckeyes are doing. They're winning. They're finding ways to win, and good teams and great teams find ways to win. I'm tired of this notation on Facebook of saying this team is not a great team and Ryan Day should be fired. And I'm just saying, like, I've seen it. I've also seen, oh, we should have hired Fickell over Ryan Day.
Oh, no.
This is a bunch of baloney bullshit. Ryan Day has not lost a Big Ten game.
That's just, yeah. I mean, there's always going to be people like that, but yeah, I guess
there's a few that we know, and I called one of them an ass hat the other day. I'm not going to mention his name on the pod because I don't want to call anybody out because I'm sure this person also listens to our pod, but he's the prime number one ass hat is what I call it.
That's hilarious. I guess moving on, big showdown in the Shoe this weekend, Cass. They're actually ranked now, which is great to see. 6-3 Purdue. Honestly, they're really good this year, Cass. I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. Purdue's awesome this year. I mean, all their losses were to good teams, too. Like, they lost by 7 to Minnesota, 14 to Notre Dame, and, well, I guess this one wasn't close, but they lost by 17 to Wisconsin. But they lost to all good teams. And then they've obviously killed Iowa and Michigan State. So they've slayed some giants. How are you feeling about this matchup?
They slayed the Giants at home, didn't show up on the road.
True, true.
I feel confident about this game. I think Ohio State's been, like I said, a lot of people been critical of Ohio State. Yeah, we're number 4.
This game's personal, though.
Yeah, this game's personal. Buckeyes want to be, you know, do great things. By the way, Purdue can't run the ball like diddly squat. So Ohio State can stop the run very well. So making a team one-dimensional, Denzel Burkham.
Yeah, they're already one-dimensional. they just throw it the bell.
Yeah, like I think Denzel Burke is going to have a great game against Bell.
Yeah.
I really don't think Purdue can stop Ohio State's offense. I really don't. Like, here's how they beat Michigan State and Iowa. They're one dimensional. Ohio State's not one dimensional.
I mean, I don't want to say I don't think they can stop Ohio State's offense because I do think they can stop Ohio State's offense because I've seen Ohio State's offense kind of stop itself a few times in recent games. So I'm not sure if Purdue can stop them, but I definitely know CJ Stroud in like a miscommunication or a holding call or just something stupid can definitely stop our offense.
I mean, I could see it. I mean, again, going back, you just criticized C.J. Stroud. I think the kid is phenomenally good and phenomenally talented. Yeah, he makes a couple bad decisions, but all in all, he's a great talent, and he's that quarterback for a reason. I mean, I think Purdue against the pass, Garrett Wilson's back. He's going to be hungry. You got Chris Olave, the emergency of Jaxon Smith-Njigba. You have Julian Fleming. Stud. You got Jeremy Rucker. Again, who on that Purdue defense is stopping these guys?
I mean, it's Purdue. They have their two quarterbacks, O'Connell and Plummer. And I'm shocked that Jack Plummer's not related to Jake Plummer. That's a whole different story for another time. I will say, obviously, David Bell. They have Milton Wright.
Yeah, David
Jaxon Bell, Anthrop, like two solid receivers. Payne Durham, he's their tight end, almost 400 yards, four touchdowns. Like, so they have some receivers who they can definitely exploit. I think Bell is going to be pretty heavily covered by Burke, or if they have Cam Brown take him for a few snaps or something, I think he'll be contained well. But I do think like Anthrop or their tight end will definitely have a play or two against us. That's what I'm projecting. I think whoever's like in the slot, or in the middle, because they love to target the middle of our defense. It's been evident in the past few games. That's the weak spot. I think whoever's in those positions is going to have a big day Saturday.
Well, and you'll have Steel Chambers starting the whole game.
Yeah. Just
emergency.
Big day as in they'll make a play or two. But not like I don't record setting.
The thing is Ohio State tackles well in the open field.
They do.
I think the problem is if Ohio State's able to stop these underneath stuff, which they struggled at, we'll give them that. Ohio State struggled at stopping underneath because I think we give them too much cushion. I think the way our defensive line is playing, the way JTT and Jack Sawyer are coming off the bench and playing behind Tyreek Smith and Zach Harrison, Jerron Cage, Teron Vincent, Haskell Garrett, Tyreek Williams, those guys are balling like crazy on the front line. It's just going to be hard for Purdue's offense to block those guys.
Just imagine having to, after you think you get, like, Tyreek Smith and Zach Harrison out of the game, and all of a sudden JTT and Sawyer come in. That must be terrible.
I'm telling you what.
Javonte John-Baptiste, too. He had a big day.
I'm telling you what. I think Purdue is a great offense. I really do. I think they're good. I think they're going to make some plays. I think Ohio State defense creates opportunities like they do. Like they have been to make some stops against this Purdue offense. Don't get me wrong, but Purdue can't run the ball. That's the issue. Ohio State's, believe it or not, and whether people agree with me or not, but Ohio State's weakness in defense was stopping the run at the beginning of the year. But they kind of flipped that, and they've done a great job. I think last week they averaged like maybe a yard a carry. I mean, a yard a carry or something. I might be wrong, but I'm tired. Sorry, folks. But I think Ohio State's run defense is very, very solid. Purdue can't run the ball, so we know our DBs and our linebackers have to be ready because they're going to throw the ball almost 60 times.
I mean, like, it's going to be interesting too, because it's a 3:30 game, and it's a late November game, and it's going to be very cold, believe it or not. I know, shocker. It's finally the cold weather's here. It's going to be, you know, in the 30s.
It's still going to be nice.
40s. It's going to be nice, but it's going to be a night game too, because basically the sun's going to go down at halftime. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be a pretty good game. I think Purdue, this is definitely one of the best teams they've had probably in the last, probably since Drew Brees, honestly.
You're wrong.
Who else?
I think their 04 team with Kyle Orton.
Okay. Yeah. Them. Okay. not much to go with though. I just think Ohio State, because Ohio State has wanted to play Purdue, because we know we wanted to play them since 2018, since that mess in West Lafayette. I think Ohio State's going to – they're definitely going to win. I'm not afraid of them winning, but it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be a well-fought Big Ten game, and I don't want to see the committee drop Purdue out of the rankings after we beat them barely. Because that's so stupid, ranking them like near the end of like 2025 area. Because once they lose and they're out of the rankings, and it's I hate that, because I still think Purdue is a top 25 team, even if we beat them closely.
I think they'll score, but I don't think it. I don't think we cover, but I think it's still a 2-3 touchdown win. Well, 2-3 possession win. I'm sorry.
Well, I think I think it's gonna be a good game, and we're gonna win by like 8 or 9 points again, similar to what we like this game against Nebraska, the one against Penn State. Those are very good football games if you watch the whole game. But then it's like, you see us, we don't cover the spread, but we have a great win, and it's like a great, you know, dub 2-score win. I think we're going to get something like that. I'm checking the spread, but you're absolutely
right. It's 20.5.
20.5. I'm going to say we win by like 13, 14.
I have us winning 38-20. So, I mean, 18, we don't cover the spread, but it's still a hard-fought victory. I just think
Ohio State – I would say 35-21 for me.
It's about the same.
Yeah.
I think Noah Ruggles kicks a field goal. You're not giving Ruggles any love.
I feel like he should not be like this crucial of a piece for our team, but we gotta give him all the credit. Dude has killed it.
You have to have it. This is gonna be key, because we needed kickers in the past to be key.
It's nice having confidence in him too. It's nice knowing that if we go, you know, we get it inside the 10, 20, 20 area, like red zone, and we're clearly not going to get the first down, we can get 3 no matter what.
By the way, our red zone woes, I went back and watched both Penn State and Nebraska again. Our red zone woes are caused by stupid offensive line penalties, whether if it's a false start or a hold.
It's not. It's really not the coaching. The play calls are fine. It's literally just the execution of it. Honestly. Exactly. It's people have been complaining about Ryan Day's play calls. The calls are fine. It's just the execution.
You got to be like Bret Hart out there, the excellence of execution.
Or Brian Kelly's like, I believe in execution. I want to execute my whole team or whatever, when he said it against Florida State.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But,
so, yeah, 38-20, I think, 38-21-ish. We'll give them 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm going 35-21. Good game. I think we honestly – Purdue might have the ball. It's going to be like 28-21. Purdue's going to have the ball, and we'll get like a defensive touchdown. Like maybe a Denzel Burke pick 6 for the win.
I want to see a fat man touchdown.
Oh, I've never heard the shoe louder. When Jerron Cage did that, I mean, the shoe was erupting. Just greatest thing I've ever seen. But we got to go into our pick'ems before we wrap it up here, Cass.
Baltimore's only up 3-0.
Yeah, I have the game on. It's kind of a dud.
This sucks, because I have Lamar Jackson and his whopping 2 points.
Oh, I have a Lamar Jackson, Rashad Bateman, Miles Gaskin, and Mike Gesicki. So not looking too hot right now, Cass.
By the way, right now, North Carolina is getting trounced by Pittsburgh 23-7.
Pitt's good. Pitt's going to – they might ACC, make a New Year's Six Bowl.
Orange Bowl ACC champs.
I like it. I mean, they're playing really good football. So is Wake Forest. I know they lost.
Boy, Alabama, man, I'm going to put this one – on keep your eye out, 51-point favorite on New Mexico State. How is this allowed? Alabama's going to win 52-0 and get bumped to number one in the country because the eye test. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's going to be it's that game's ridiculous. I don't even want to talk about that one. Let's go with number 4, Oklahoma 18, Baylor. That's a good one, Cass.
You mean number eight?
Yeah.
Oklahoma?
Yeah, no, on my dumb brain. I have the AP rankings up right now for some reason. For some reason, the college football schedule, it doesn't update the college football playoff rankings on Google. It only goes with the AP rankings.
That's why I went to ESPN.
Yeah, I should probably pull that one up.
All right. Big noon kickoff, my buddies. I know a lot of people are at that game because of Fox, and a couple of my buddies are picking Baylor to win. I want to go. I'm right there with them. I think Baylor wins, man. Coming off an emotional loss, they're going to be ready. I like it. I think Baylor wins.
What's crazy is tickets are as low as $46 for this game. That's unreal. But I'm going to go with the Sooners. They're going to lose the Sooners, but they're not going to lose to Baylor yet. I think Sooners win by 2 touchdowns.
All right. Keep your eye on Georgia at Tennessee. Tennessee.
Yes.
Tennessee beat Kentucky last week. I think Tennessee's pretty decent. But keep your eye on it. I don't think Tennessee wins, but I think 20 points is a high ceiling for the Bulldogs.
Joe Milton makes an appearance in the second half, leads Tennessee to a victory. Heisman campaign's back on. Tennessee.
All right. At Happy Valley, they're doing a helmet whiteout. I think I'm calling it a helmet whiteout. They're saying it's not a white, but high noon, Michigan, it's a 1.5 favorite. I like the Nittany Lions, man. I really do. I know I keep picking against Michigan this year. Actually, I haven't done that in quite some time. But I for some reason, I like the Nittany Lions this week. I can't tell you why. I like Penn State at home.
That's a good – I mean, I could see that. I, too, will be going with the Nittany Lions because they beat Auburn at home. They played us tough. They just had a really bad 3-game stretch, but yeah, I think they'll get the job done against that team up north.
Minnesota at Iowa.
That's a good one.
Right now, I think Iowa controls its own destiny. They get to Indy. Am I correct?
Correct.
The Big Ten West is weird.
And it's really weird.
It seems like a really weird weekend for the West. Give me the Gophers on the road.
I believe how's Purdue doing in the West? I believe they're in the running too.
I'm looking up the standings right now.
Yeah, Purdue is in the conference 4-2. Wisconsin's 4-2. Minnesota's 4-2. Iowa's 4-2. They're all in the running because Purdue is the head-to-head over Iowa, but not over Minnesota and Wisconsin.
That's what I'm saying. Iowa controls their own destiny.
Because they
play Wisconsin. They play Wisconsin and they've lost to Purdue.
But if they beat Wisconsin,
this is weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways this could play out. Purdue is alive to play in Indy if they beat us.
But I think Wisconsin's hot right now, so.
Yeah,
it's weird. It is weird.
There are a lot of like scenarios. Someone's gonna make the graphic on the internet eventually, so we'll know all scenarios in like a week or two.
You ever seen basketball?
Yeah.
You know when they're trying to explain the playoffs? That's what the Big Ten West is like.
It really doesn't matter who wins. It's like somehow there's always a team that always just comes up out of nowhere and wins it. Like Northwestern. Yeah, like where did Northwestern come from?
Right. All right, NC State at Wake Forest. Wake Forest got beat last week by North Carolina. I don't know about this game. I've picked the road team a lot on this game outside of Penn State. Give me Wake Forest. Give me the Demon Deacons. I don't ask why.
Just trying to find it. Oh, there it is. Tickets as low as $56. It's an away game, but it's NC State to Wake Forest. That's like an hour. I'll go with NC State. It's not really a road game.
Right. All right. And then the last one that we picked, because all the other games suck, is Texas A&M at Ole Miss. A&M's a 2.5-point favorite. Give me Matt Corral and the Rebels.
I Yeah, I think they'll bounce back after that loss to Auburn, because I think Texas A&M, like, they're not that good. I think Ole Miss has all the talent, so give me the Rebels.
All right, just keep your eye on it and something to watch, because you just got back from the shoe after Ohio State beat Purdue, and because it's a 3:30 kickoff, you had to deal with traffic, but you get home just in time to watch this game on the CBS network.
I know which one you're going to say, too.
7-2 Nevada at 8-1 San Diego State.
I love it.
Just keep your eye on it, man. I think that's going to be a fun game to watch.
At the Dignity Health Sports Park, tickets as low as $10 for that one if you're in San Diego.
All right. Now the question is, next week, assuming Ohio State and Michigan State wins, ABC will already have the game at high noon. Are they going to Tuscaloosa for Arkansas-Alabama, which the game has not been announced, or are they going to Utah for Oregon-Utah, or are they coming to Columbus for Michigan State and Ohio State? College game day.
Yeah, I think they would definitely come to Columbus for that, because this is basically a de facto playoff game. It's an eliminator game. Like the Alabama game, it's not really an eliminator game. It's Arkansas could eliminate, like basically eliminate Alabama, but Arkansas, they're no longer in the running, unfortunately. And the other game, they would come to Columbus. I'm sure of that, because Big Noon has come to Columbus, but game day hasn't, and game day usually comes once in a year usually, and they completely didn't, they weren't able to come at all in 2020, so we're definitely on the schedule. I feel
like they're going to be there too.
I saw people, they were trying to get game day to come to the Montana like state rivalry game, like Montana versus Montana State or whatever it was. They chose some SEC game. Yeah, it's people were like, go to UTSA UTEP last week. And they said meep meep and ran like a roadrunner to the SEC. So
yeah. Fun. If you're going to the game, bundle up, enjoy the game. David Bell has to be stopped. I'm just looking at his
he has 1,000 yards already.
He has 657 yards and 2 touchdowns and 22. Okay, I don't care. I'm looking at those stats. Yeah, he's got 11 receptions, 240 yards, and a touchdown against Iowa. 11 receptions, 217 yards, and a touchdown against Michigan State. Yeah, that's a lot of receptions and a lot of yards, but only one TD to show for it. Like, come on, bro. Like, but yeah, he has to be stopped.
He's the number 7th leading receiver in the country, David Bell.
Yeah, he has to be stopped.
He's insane. And like, he's like the only one from like a good conference. There's like the UNC receiver. He's all right. Downs. He's decent. And then they have Drake London on USC, but David Bell is a monster. I'm just worried that David Bell could have a night, but I don't think he will.
I don't think he will either. By the way, just to end on fun, happy notes. It's a meme, and it's a picture of Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Darnold, and Cam Newton. The Carolina Panthers are currently paying Cam Newton's replacement for Cam Newton to replace his own replacement's replacement.
That's hilarious. I'm glad Cam's back, though, with the Panthers. That feels right.
And I picked him up in fantasy.
You love to see it. But I think that does it, I guess, for this week's episode. Oh, real quick, actually. Ohio State basketball, big win against Akron. Thought they were going to blow it there for a second. But Zed Key, huge, huge shot to win it. Malachi Branham, pretty good.
He's going to be a star.
He's a stud, yeah. He had the game-winning assist. He was really good. I'm psyched about him.
The only thing that concerns me about this team is a backcourt.
Yeah.
I don't think this team has a point guard. And it's going to show. I think Dwayne, and this is my opinion, and I love Dwayne Washington, and I'm still really critical, and I know he's going to do well with the Pacers, but I felt like he needed to stay this year because I think he would have been a lottery pick locked in.
Yep.
And I think he should have stayed.
Would have gotten his NIL money. Trust me, yep. A lot of people feel the same way as you do, Cass, and I feel like he made a bad decision. And I'm not even sure. I think he made a bad decision. I think he should have stayed. I think it would have worked out way better for him, for Buckeye Nation. I think if he waited another week or two, he would have been in a better position. That's just my opinion on it.
I agree. And by the way, if you're in town from out of state and you're coming in to catch the Buckeyes football team, might as well head to the Shot Friday night. Get yourself a $10 ticket. Get yourself some pop and some popcorn and enjoy this basketball team.
They play Niagara.
Yeah.
Should be a win. If it's not a win, then we will discuss next episode and there will be major concern. But I think they should be 2-0. They barely beat Akron, but they got the job done. I think they come out strong against Niagara. Zed Key's going to have a big night. No one's going to stop him. Liddell's going to be good.
Brandon, yeah, and if you're at the
triple
game,
double.
And if you're at the game, bring your headphones and tune in to Fairfield County Sports Network, the Battle of Pickerington, Pickerington North, Pickerington Central. I'll have it live for you at around 6:45, taking you up to kickoff at 7, live from Newark Whitefield.
That's big time.
Sonny Styles is about to make his announcement within the next few weeks, by the way, just a rumor that I've been hearing. And I know Crystal Ball says Notre Dame, but there's a lot of hype saying he may flip from Notre Dame to Ohio State. And I'm going to tell you right now, this kid is 6'4", 200 and some odd pounds with a club on his hand right now because he has broken fingers. But the dude is a hoss. And he's a great football player, and he would be a great DB for the Buckeyes.
Hopefully he becomes one. I'd be psyched for that. But yes. I guess that does it, though, for this episode, Cass. Any other final thoughts?
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Beat Purdue. Don't let the Spoilermakers get you. As always, thank you for listening, and go Bucks.